Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. The Reverend John Sias is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There are two ways of looking at life, and I'm not talking about the half-full or half-empty glass of the nickel psychologists, but whether the kingdom of God is to you at hand or yet far away. Whether we are, as our Lord says, awake to it or asleep. Whether we are praying for strength to flee out of what is about to take place, the wheels falling off the powers of the heavens. Or whether we are simply hoping along with the world that we can eke out our existence somehow before we have to look at that. The latter way is the way of death. The former, the way of life and faith and hope and love. It seems kind of unreasonable what our Lord says. That when the nations are besieged with perplexity, when they find themselves utterly without a paddle at what is coming upon the world, which is the word in Greek from which we get, not incidentally, the economy, that when all this is happening, we should straighten up and raise our heads because it means our redemption is drawing near. This is not looking at a half-empty glass and calling it half-full. It is looking at the cup of one sort of life gushing out with no hope of mopping it up and seeing through it the chalice of life of quite another sort brimming. It is the faith Jesus sought from his disciples in the storm on the sea. It is to say, as the sun and moon and all we've counted on as earthly steadiness depart, they must decrease that he must increase, and greeting him with joy. Now, it may make sense to us what he says here as something he meant for those upon whom the end of Jerusalem would come, before the generations of Jesus' day would pass away. It seems a dire word for a dire day like that. The grand buildings of the temple, he's just said, would be cast down. It would be a time of vengeance upon the people, a time to flee all that had been familiar and to go out with only that word that would not pass away. We comfort ourselves that we are not in that time. But while that was the end of old Jerusalem, the end, Jesus said, was not yet. And so our thoughts might turn to his words being for those who happen to be living when the end of days comes. Though I think the warning to stay awake for the strength to flee certainly isn't some kind of civil defense warning for a lightning flash of an appearance that will come at a time no one can expect. There is no fleeing from that. So the main thrust of what our Lord says must be for you today, as it has been for every generation of believers since these things began to take place in his time, and will be until that end that comes, but which isn't yet. Do not file these words away for the days when the big wheels will fall noticeably off the bus, though I think they have already. When temple and nation are destroyed or the sun flickers some mid-afternoon, our Lord's admonition is to be awake at all times, not to be roused from sleep and dissipation and drunkenness, and worst of all, the cares of this daily life, only when the horns really are blaring. It ought to be remembered, after all, what started this whole sermon in Luke 21, which was an ordinary poor widow, just another ordinary seeming temple day, maybe, putting all that she had to live on into the offering box. Jesus noted this to the crowd, and the crowd didn't seem to care. Someone changed the conversation topic to how grand all these temple buildings were. Luke doesn't tell us why, but it's the way we all do, isn't it? We forget about the widow and her two bits. We forget about the little things, what's to be done today, the immediate neighbors. Forget about the 35,000 decisions we each supposedly make a day, and go on to hypothesize about the big questions, worldwide problems, global catastrophes we could neither advance or avert if we tried. But the kingdom of God, the truth is not afar off with all that stuff, but it is right at hand. As John the Baptist and Jesus and the accompanying signs are all still trying to tell us, with the widow and her two bits, with you and your 35,000 decisions, and we ought to be awake to that. The widow, it seems, was. There's much Luke doesn't tell us about her. She just appears, she drops her bits, Jesus comments on her. Perhaps the day wasn't so ordinary to her, though, it being Holy Tuesday. Perhaps she heard the Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and believed, and with all she had, went all in on that. I don't know, but I rather hope so. She who is faithful in little might very well be faithful in much. Our Lord does say that elsewhere. But ought that not also be true for us? Which is to say, another way, how dare we imagine ourselves capable of being faithful in much, to be ready someday to rejoice in the Lord, peering beyond sputtering sun and falling moon as nations around us faint with fear and wail, to see our Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory, to rejoice with him. How can we count ourselves worthy to do that, expect ourselves to do that, if in the here and now at much less we faint with fear and wail and gnash our teeth over all the little things that will befall us today? Yet, God help us, we do. The admonition to pray for the strength to flee out of all this, not just to escape, but to flee out of it, out of the worry, the bitterness, the scheming to secure our bit, to eke our days out as close to our way as possible, of all the darkness and hopelessness that falls on the world because of the way it thinks it can engineer its way, though it's going nowhere good. This admonition is for us, dear Christian friends. The worse your day gets, the worse they do to you, the more that's asked, the less you're given, the more painful the given seems, and the more common the taking, the closer the wheels of your bus seem to falling off. When these things begin to take place today, straighten up your heads, for in them, your redemption, The blood of Jesus shed for your sins, the sins of the world, is indeed drawing near. And the kingdom of heaven is right at hand. And the word that, though all else pass away, endures forever, and more than endures, saves forever, is in your ear. And pray for the strength for this, the strength to flee from yammering about what fails, to proclaiming what endures. That word is also on your lips. And if that word is found there, on your lips, then, when the wheels are knocked not only off of the bus, but yours, then the kingdom of God, the redemption, the blood of Jesus shed to cancel sin has drawn near, not only to you, to save. We know the end of the way of the world, which is death. It is coming on all who dwell on the face of the earth. Teste David cum Sibylla, and now Jesus. Insanity, they say, is to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Inasmuch as we go on living the way the world does, we will reap its reward. But there is another way, a way of thinking different, which is the way of life and faith and hope and love. That is to see in all the bad that comes nothing other than our redemption drawing near. That is the blood of Jesus coming to bear. There is the strength. There is the power which will come manifestly on the clouds of heaven someday. And it's here now to change things. To live by that power today, in truth, is unreasonable only to those confirmed in the old insanity, who are thinking that in being weighed down in dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, eventually joy is bound to come. But the truth is, to go all in with Jesus today is the only reasonable thing to do. And the Spirit is willing. But how weak the flesh, nevertheless, how strong the blood. Stay awake, therefore. Pray for strength to flee out of the one always and into the other, even today and at the last, to stand before the Son of Man. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.